Hi, I'm Logan Rice.
And I'm Andrew Hargett.
And you've joined us on To the Choir Master, a podcast examining our heart posture and musical worship.
This week, we're going to be discussing Bigger Than I Thought by Sean Curran. If you haven't heard the song before, we definitely recommend you go give it a listen first, but then come right back and join in on the discussion. So I throw all my cares before you, my doubts and fears don't scare you. You're bigger than I thought you were. You're bigger than I thought. So I stop all negotiations with the God.
All right, welcome back to episode two. As Andrew mentioned, we're going to be looking at Bigger Than I Thought by Sean Curran. If you were here for the last episode, you know how the format of this podcast works. For this, we're going to look at the first lines of all the verses, study those, and then go back and look at what "you understand me" means. So, Andrew, the first line, "Speak to me when the silence steals my voice." Where are we thinking about that?
Yeah, you know, this is a really interesting line. I think because when I first heard the song, I know you and I talked about this before because we played it together initially at a youth conference, and we both didn't like the song. And I was pretty sure you'd chosen it, so I wasn't sure why you didn't like the song. But but then as we started playing it more and more, we realized, hey, we actually really like this song.
Yeah.
But this line, when we first did it back then, I really didn't understand what it means. I think I have a better understanding now, because when I hear like "silence steals my voice," I'm putting like "steals my voice," "silence" together, and I'm thinking the silence is my stolen voice,
right?
And as I have, you know, looked at this more, I'm kind of starting to think, no, it's not that the silence is my stolen voice. That's not even what the song says. It says that the silence is actually stealing my voice. And he's asking God, he said, like, that's who he's talking to here. He says, "Speak to me." And so I'm hearing that basically he feels like the song kind of opens with this feeling of, I'm not hearing God, and I'm the stealing my voice to me. Like, I almost think of like whenever in your dreams, like you're screaming, but there's no sound coming out.
Right.
You know, our namesake's kind of coming out of the Psalms. I like when I read the Psalms to kind of like try to build a picture in my head.
Right.
That's the picture here to me, is like, I'm not hearing anything from God, and so I'm like screaming, but there's nothing coming out.
Right, and I think that ties directly into the second verse. "Come to me in the valley of unknowns." Those are really kind of a pairing in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I went on with two other of our brothers. We went on a 20-mile ruck, from Greenville to TR and back, and there was a time where we were walking, and this was, for the listeners, we started at 10 p.m.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
And ended at 5:30 in the morning. So we're walking through, and this is mile 7 or 8, and there's a patch of the swamp rabbit that there are two walls, if you will, of earth. And I remember saying out loud, man, this kind of puts the "even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death" line into perspective, because when you're in this valley, there's no way you can gain the high ground. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have our headlamps on, and of course, every little sound, you know, you're going to think, oh, this could be something happening. And when you're in this valley, when you're in this pit where you're in the low ground at all times, there are so many unknowns, and there are questions that pop into your head of, you know, did I hear something? Was it this? And to me, I very much agree with you. This is a cry to the Lord, and that cry in the first verse doesn't sound like it's being heard. Mm-hmm. "Come to me in the valley of unknowns." What a reassurance it would be to know that God is with us in that at all times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I think back to Josh Trammell, our lead pastor. He says all the time about how when he's playing hide and seek with his girls, you know, there's nothing more reassuring than when it's dark and spooky, that at the end of the day, he is dad, and his girls think that he is going to, you know, punch the darkness in the face. And that, to me, as a child of God, that's how I see this being said.
Yeah.
Of God, you know, "come to me, the silence has stolen my voice. I can't hear you, or I'm trying to scream out. I don't think you can hear me. Can you come to me in this time?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like that's so good to bring up because, you know, anytime we sing songs like this, you know, I think it's helpful. Like, you know, this podcast, we're trying to get to that heart posture. Right. And so like so much of that is getting our minds wrapped up in what we're singing and mm-hmm. understanding what the mindset or heart posture is that we're singing. And so like when, you know, in these initial verses, like, It's somewhat of that dark place of in that hide and seek game mm-hmm. when the dark is still there. And, you know, that's like a lot of when David's writing Psalms, that's a lot of the Psalms. He's
absolutely
in this dark place. He's there. And then there's a second half of the Psalm where he goes, but I know. And then he goes on. And I think we'll see some of that as we kind of continue digging through this song. But definitely these first two verses, you know, my mind goes straight to that valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. And it's this cry. Yeah. Like you said, you know, God, you know, speak to me, come to me, because right now I'm far away mm-hmm. and like you're really small. And that, you know, as we kind of continue on into the other verses that come in later, you see that kind of repeated. I'll read those off real quick. So verse 3 and 4, those lines say, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me reach the faith that's underneath. Mm-hmm. How do you see that tying in?
Yeah. So I believe, but help my unbelief. To me, I immediately think of Mark 9:24, mm-hmm. the Father and the Son, and he cry. You know, Jesus heals the Son, and he cries out, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief. And as a Christian, I feel like I felt that so many times. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I both were fortunate enough to be born and raised in Christian homes, and go to church from a very young age, mm-hmm. and be brought up knowing the Lord that way. Yet it seems like as I felt milestones in my life that have tested my faith, or where I felt like I've run away from God and he's still been mm-hmm. there, I've never said in my life that I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
But there have definitely been times in my life where I have doubted God mm-hmm. or questioned his motives or questioned who he is. Mm-hmm. That belief was still there. God, I believe you, or I believe in you. I believe that you exist. Mm-hmm. But I think that unbelief, which we'll go to the chorus later, is believing who he says he is, mm-hmm. believing that he's sovereign, believing that he's good, believing that he's just. Yeah. To me, that's the unbelief in that. It's like, I believe in God, but even the demons and the devil believe in God. Yeah, that to me is the unbelief there. Going into verse 4, help me reach the faith that's underneath. I think that
highlights what you just
exactly,
said.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that ties right in. There's a faith that's underneath that, you know, as we talked about in the previous episode with Sea of Victory, that faith that's underneath, sometimes the only way that can be reached is through trial and through mm-hmm. tribulation, and realizing my God was with me every step of the way. And even in that valley, he was there. Even mm-hmm. on the mountain, he is there. And that's the faith that's underneath.
Yeah. You know, these verses, I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about them all back to back, because in my mind, you can't separate valleys and unbelief. You mm-hmm. know, like to me, those are often the same thing. And that's especially true, I think, you know, like the world is becoming so much more aware of like mental health issues and things like that. And like, so our valleys are less and less becoming the valleys of David's time, where he's like, literally in a valley, you know, with armies, or when we were on our hike, the valley where we're like, we hear coyotes, could they come charging down this on either side of us? And it's more and more the valley of, I'm not in a good place mm-hmm. emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Right.
And I think that, like you said, like that valley is all coming up when our faith is rocked. And our faith is rocked from unbelief, and mm-hmm. unbelief is ultimately that issue of temporarily believing, even if it's subconsciously, that there's something more pressing or something bigger mm-hmm. than God. And so I think, yeah, like these verses are all kind of tied together, and looking at like, this is often our state of where we are whenever we don't, you know, as we're going to talk about with the, you know, as the title talks about, whenever we don't see God as really big. These are all things when we see God as small, we see him as distant, we don't see him working here in the world.
So the first two lines of each verse tie in. At the end of each verse, all four verses, the line, you understand me, mm-hmm. is said twice. We were talking a little bit before the podcast. What does that sound like to you of the you understand me?
Yeah. So I thought this was, you know, this is an interesting line because, you know, I know we talked about when we were like, what are we going to do for this podcast? And we were like, well, we're not going to break down guitar solos, and we're not going to break down, you know, these chord structures and things like that. But I do think sometimes the tone of how we sing things is important.
Absolutely.
And the tone in this line almost sounds like a cry to me.
Yep.
Which does tie it back into what we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah. For me, the first question that I have to ask is, what does it mean for God to understand us? You and I both enjoy maybe the more academic side mm-hmm. of theology and Christianity, in the sense yeah. of, I know that in my life, I've spent the majority of my time trying to understand God. The more I can know about him, the closer I can reach him. And all those things I believe are true. But I don't know if I've ever really sat back and thought about, okay, if I'm not trying to understand God, God understands me.
Yeah, it's like that cliche of, it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's a cry, but it's also a truth. God does understand us. And I want to read Psalm 139. This is a psalm of David. It is to the choir master, so shout out to our podcast name. But Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And then, you know, later on in that psalm, you know, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And the title of the psalm is Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart. God understands us, and God understands us more than we ever could have, mm-hmm. than we could ever understand. He understands us more than we understand that he understands us. Mm-hmm. You know, he not only created us, but he knows every word we're going to say. He knows when we're going to sit down and when we're going to rise up. Furthermore, he sent his son to live a life and to take on all of our sin and all of our struggles and all of our anxieties. He knows us. Mm-hmm. And to me, and it's patterned all throughout the Psalms as well, when you look at how David's writing style is, you have these cries, speak to me, you know, come to me, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. And then there's almost this, as you see in a lot of the latter half of the Psalms, this almost forced reminder of the soul. Exactly.
That I'm grabbing hold of.
Right. David very much would be like, my world is in turmoil. And you know, I'm crying and I'm weeping and I'm reaching out. I don't feel like you're there. He's telling his soul, you understand me. Mm-hmm. You know this. You know who I am. You know my every thought. You know my every action. You know what's to come. That's a heart posture as we sing this, constantly reminding our soul, you understand me, God. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm at.
Yeah. And I just think, like, there's so many ways, you know, when you sing this, that you understand me, it's repeated over and over and over mm-hmm. again. And so, like, there's so many things that you can bring to mind to, like, have that right heart posture. I mean, you mentioned some of them. You know, my mind goes to, like, you know, Jesus teaching about how God knows the count of our hairs right. on our head, like that level of knowing mm-hmm. us. You know, it goes to, you know, in James, you know, it talks about, you know, shall we go to such and such a place and sell such and such things and all these, you know, but, like, out of that, I get the idea that, you know, God's sovereignly directing our steps. Like mm-hmm. he knows where we're going to go. And like those things are done by his will. And so like he knows us on that level too, mm-hmm. like not just our physical aspects, but also like what we're going to do. And then, also thought, you know, of Hebrews 4:14-16, where it talks about Jesus as our sympathetic high priest, mm-hmm. right? So like Jesus, he knows us even on the level of like understanding, you know, the things that we fall in and the things that we fail on, not that he failed, but that he walked among us, right? Mm-hmm. Like to be that high priest so that he could be sympathetic for those things. In some ways, like it's like where, you know, God understands that we have unbelief.
Right.
This is where I'm at and I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. I know you understand like where I want to be.
Right.
And like, it's like that cry almost in the beginning of the psalm. It almost sounds like I would never be able to say this. I'm saying it like, mm-hmm. you understand what I'm asking for, like, please help. And so like, that's kind of a big part of the heart posture that I see in these verses all leading up to the chorus.
Right. And I was just about to say, this is, you know, as we continue talking, all of this leads up to me, to the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And the lines are, so I throw all my cares before you. my doubts and fears don't scare you. You're bigger than I thought you were. You're bigger than I thought. I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation. You're bigger than I thought. You're bigger than I thought. So much bigger than I thought. What a relief it is to know that our doubts and our fears don't scare God.
Yeah, that unbelief we just talked about.
Psalm 131 says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous. And yet, even when I personally, not David in this regard, when I do occupy myself with things greater, when I do say, why is this happening? Why is there a pandemic going on in our world? Those questions don't scare God. He knows the inner workings of our heart. He knows my every thought and my need. That doesn't scare God. In fact, as evidenced by this song, it draws us closer to him. As we come more to the realization, we'll get to this in the bridge, but as we come to that realization, the only thing we can do is just rest and breathe and Selah in the Father's hands. But yeah, my doubts and fears don't scare you. I throw all my cares before you. What a relief.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think this chorus highlights a couple of the big ways that we make God small. And it takes those and it turns them and it's like, no, like God is really big. Stop making him small in these ways. And that's that escape from all of that valley, that unbelief that we looked at. You know, I think one of the things we do is we think of our sin as too great for him to forgive.
Absolutely.
Touched a little bit on that, but like, you know, I've literally heard people, you know, that they say, you know, no, you don't know what I've done. And it's like, you know, the cliche again is that you don't know how big my God is.
Right.
But that's so true, because like, if you come in and say, no, you don't know what I've done, you're placing God in a box that's smaller than that sin.
You're essentially saying the cross wasn't enough.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this line is really important, I think, in the song. It's really relevant to a lot of people. I know you and I, working with the youth group at our church, have seen this conversation come up a lot, because people bring up that idea of casting cares on God. But then when you hear them explain that, you kind of realize they don't actually know what that means. They just know those terms. And so I think for us to sing this song correctly, you kind of need to know, what does it mean to throw all my cares before you? So I'm curious, Logan, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so this is really fresh on my mind. Our life group looked at Psalm 131 last night, which doesn't directly address this, but a question was asked that I think was very relevant. So the psalm is, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And along those same lines, you know, David states, I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. And a lot of times when you look at just the general human, our cares and our concerns and our anxieties often feel so overwhelming and too great and too marvelous for us. And one mistake that I have seen and can see Christians making is the idea that just throwing all of our cares on God is simply just not caring about them.
Yeah, it's like an apathy.
And that's not, it's a yes, but. I mean, it is not concerning yourself with them, but that doesn't mean that if you're $50,000 in debt, you just say, it is what it is, and just let that go. But throwing those cares is a, okay, Father, I am in this situation. I am here. I'm in the valley. I'm in the where I feel like my anxiety is too great. I'm going to cast my cares on you, knowing that you are a sovereign, almighty, holy, perfect Father, and know that you have this in control. Not a, I'm just going to throw my hands up and say, you know, I don't. I'm told not to care about this, and I think that's a deception that can sometimes enter in our minds is. Casting all your cares is simply just not caring and being apathetic, and that's not true at all.
Right, and we see problems with that. You know, in the youth group, we see that a lot, because ultimately, it's like it's impossible for the human mind, I think, to just not care about anything.
Exactly.
Right? And so when you cast out this one care and you become apathetic about it, something else comes in. And I listened to a sermon, I think it was by Tim Keller, a while back, and he's talking about how you can't really just get rid of something. You can only replace things.
Right.
I really, you know, spoke to me about this type of a phrase because I see, like, you can't just stop caring about things and kind of instead, in line with what this song is talking about, you have to start caring about something else more.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, like throwing all my cares before you and then singing about how big God is, it's almost that like heart of saying, God, you are so big, you are so valuable, you are so worthwhile, that all of my other cares are worthless compared to caring about you.
Right. I think back to when we were in college. We didn't know each other in college.
No.
I was in Columbia, you were in Clemson. but you especially, and I did better in college, I did in high school, but we very much cared about academics and success. And something that's very hard to grasp is, hey, Andrew, just throw your anxieties and your cares about this test or this final on God. Just cast all that on God. That doesn't mean you don't study. That doesn't mean you don't show up for the exam. That doesn't mean you don't do well. It's an understanding of this is all part of God's plan. Whatever the result is willed by God. I just get to play a part in the role. And that to me can only come with an understanding of how big God is and what his plan is and how God willed us into existence. Who are we to think that we can worry about a test?
and the motivation that you're saying there, like, why do you not just not study? Well, that motivation comes from what you just said. Like, there's a joy in being a part
Absolutely.
Of that plan. And that is the motivation behind which, because people often say, well, Andrew, if this is how you believe, then why do you do anything? It's because I love to.
Exactly.
You know, I get to.
Yeah, so. The old saying, you know, when you're trying to convince people to read their Bibles, you don't have to read your Bible. You get to read your Bible. You know, and that's one of those
old... It becomes more and more true as you grow closer and closer to God.
So the unique thing about this song is it doesn't just say, God, you're big. It says, God, you're bigger than I thought. How do you take that line, that's something that's so unique in comparison to other Christian songs?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really interesting because so many songs, like you're saying, they do sing, God, you're really, really big. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a very good thing to sing. And it's very true. But, you know, for me, it was just kind of a little bit of a shakeup from the normal to sing it like this. And it makes me reflect back on my own life. And I realize that has been the progression in my life is not just that I one day realized God was really big. It's that daily I realize God's bigger than I thought. Like he's bigger than I realized he was. I was trying to think of like an analogy for what does that look like? Like how can I understand that? And kind of what came to mind was like a ship coming into shore, or maybe like like a moon, the lunar rover, you know, going in toward the moon, and I thought, like, you know, from where I'm standing right now, I can't actually see it, but if I was standing outside and I was looking at the moon, it looks, you know, pretty small, like the size of a dime or something like that. But that lunar rover, as it continues getting closer and closer to the moon, eventually, like, you know, if you have a GoPro camera that gets your almost, you know, full 180 degree view, eventually it's taking up like the entirety of your view. And that's kind of how I feel like this song made me think of, is that as I get closer and closer to God, he's bigger and bigger than I thought. Not that he ever wasn't that big.
Right.
It's just that my view of him is finally becoming more true to what he really is.
Yeah.
And that I think even with where I'm at right now, I think that's going to continue to happen.
Absolutely.
Moving forward.
Yeah. The analogy that came into my head is a little different. You know, the Lord has blessed us with the ability to have kids. And, you know, when you're in high school and in college and, you know, when Rebecca and I were engaged, it was, you know, one day we're gonna have kids and we're going to love on them. And I always knew I was going to love my children. And then, you know, we found out Rebecca was pregnant and it was like, wow, we can't wait to love on this little one. And then there came a point, honestly, it took a little bit, but it was a couple nights ago, you know, she's 1 month old. And I was just holding her. I was like, this is my daughter.
Yeah. I think I saw that happen on Instagram. I think it was posted.
Yes. And there was just such realization of, I knew I was going to love. I thought I knew what love was. And then I realized that I love, our daughter's name is Selah. Again, keeping the Psalms mm-hmm. theme rolling.
That's right.
I love Selah more than I ever could have imagined. Mm-hmm. And if that is the relationship of a parent and a child, that realization of my love is bigger than I thought, what a joy it is to be continuously sanctified in this life and daily, mm-hmm. you know, look and say, wow, God is far bigger than I ever could have imagined. And mm-hmm. and you know he's big, but there are some milestones in your life where you just kind of stop and go, you're bigger than I thought. And I'm 24 and I cannot wait to be 34 mm-hmm. and look back and go, wow, God is yeah. so much bigger than I thought Absolutely. He was at 24, and so on and so forth mm-hmm. for as ever long as God gives me on this earth. And that to me is what being bigger than I thought was. Mm-hmm. And why it's such a unique line to be bigger yeah, than I thought than really just, you know, my God is mm-hmm. so big.
Well, you know, so I think that I wasn't even going to bring it up, but there's a line in the song early on that mm-hmm. I always try to make you sing whenever we do it. but I feel like it kind of helps put a little bit of a bow on that thought, because we came from the verses where there's this, you know, I'm kind of down because I feel like you're small and you're far away.
Yep.
And then you get to the chorus and it's realizing God is so big that he's more valuable than all of those cares that we had. He's bigger than that unbelief we had. He's more powerful than the valley that we were in, right? Like, he's not worth us trying to negotiate with mm-hmm. because, like, his ways are better than our ways. We're continually understanding how much bigger he is. And then there's that line about the find your freedom. Mm-hmm. So how do you take all of that together? Where does freedom, like, that seems so random. Where does freedom come in with that?
Yeah, he opens up and just kind of casually says it a couple mm-hmm. times. Just find your freedom. And I first listened, I was like, that's such a, you know, that's such a weird ad lib. Yeah. You and I both grew up PCA. Ad libbing yeah. in songs yeah. isn't really a you thing at all.
Yeah.
And so any ad lib, I'm like, oh, it's a little weird. But what a perfect placement. And I have something written down that I want to read to make sure that I get all the wording right. And it'll tie right into this. For God to be bigger than I thought, I have to be smaller than I think I am. When you look at the Psalms, I think to the untrained eye or heart, it looks like David is very arrogant on the mountaintop and very dramatic in the valley. However, I believe that David had a true understanding of who he was in light of God the Father. David knew that his lamenting wouldn't scare God. In fact, his laments would draw him closer to God. David doubted the Lord consistently. Lord, where are you? Have you left me? Is a constant prayer of David's. Yet in the midst of all that, there is Psalm 55. Cast all your burdens to the Lord and he will sustain you. The only way that can happen is an understanding of just exactly who God is. A God that willed the planets into motion. A God that spoke and there was light. A God that is sovereign and has ordained our every move. The only way we can cast everything to God, our doubts, fears, anxieties, plans, is if we understand who we are in light of God. And when we even get a grasp, we begin to see just how big God is. He is so much bigger than we thought, think, or ever could imagine. And when you come, you know, if I'm David, I can only imagine having that level of realization that David mm-hmm. had. To me, understanding that God is bigger and that I'm smaller is not something that gets me down or upset. Mm-hmm. It gives me so much joy and freedom to know that, you know, the old saying, if you're working out, right, like discipline is freedom. Your diet and your lifting weights and all mm-hmm. that stuff, keeping that discipline, there's freedom in that. That's just a reflection of an old adage of biblical mm-hmm. Relationship with God. There is a freedom that is found in understanding that, God, it's your will. God, you've ordained everything before I was even here. You are sovereign. You are holy. Mm-hmm. You are perfect. That completely changes how I live my life.
Yeah.
The choices that I have to make, yes, pray over them. Yes, fast over them. But the only reason I'm doing that is so that I can try to better seek the will of God, mm-hmm. not that I can better, so that I can understand how to make this decision better for me. Mm-hmm. And so I can try to align with God. And there's a freedom knowing that no matter what decision is made, it is in God's will. Now, that's a mm-hmm. hard concept to grasp. We can go down the theological rabbit mm-hmm. trail if you want to, but to me, that is the freedom that is found. And when Sean is singing the song and he's like, says, find your freedom, he sings that to me the same way that he says, you understand me. It's almost a cry. Mm-hmm. It's almost a plea to say, find your freedom in the fact that God is bigger than we thought, whether that comes through trial or whether that comes through seeking the Lord, or whether that comes from falling on your face and just trying to understand who he is. When that freedom is found and you understand who God is, that will completely liberate your entire life.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that finding of the freedom, like, it's found in how big God is, right?
Yes.
So like, and so I think to kind of put a bow on this song now, so kind of walked through it, you know, and we're finding that freedom in how big God is. Where, you know, let's look at like, where does that leave us now? Like, what's mm-hmm. that application? What's that, you know, that heart posture that we're left with? And I think that that's found in the bridge of this song. I will rest in the Father's hands and leave the rest in the Father's hands. That's such a good play on words mm-hmm. with rest and Father's hands. I think that that is the heart posture behind which we sing this song. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that as well?
Yeah. The idea of resting in the Father's hands. How often do you and I rest?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that rest necessarily means sleeping mm-hmm. or pausing
yeah.
or I think that rest is what I'm doing with my life is for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No more, no less. I'm here for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Right? The old John Piper mm-hmm. adage. When we come to the realization that we are only here for Christ, we can just rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no title that the world can put on you. There's no job position or salary
mm-hmm.
or accomplishment that can ever take precedent over we're here for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I can rest in God. And then all those things that still do exist, I can just leave that with the Father, cast my cares on him and understand.
Yeah. I think one of the best analogies I've heard to those is looking at like that thimble full of water mm-hmm. relative to the ocean.
Right.
And like, that's what I see. Like the ocean is bigger than I think it is, you know, it's bigger than I thought it was. And whenever I'm standing on the beach and looking out, like that's all I see. It's
right.
You just see ocean as far as you can and it disappears off somewhere. And I think of our, like, when we realize how big the ocean is, like, you know, even let's not take a thimble. Let's take a glass of water.
Right.
A glass of water, like, you know, if you're walking around on a hot day, like a glass of water seems like a lot of water.
Right.
But then when you see the ocean, you're like, wow, that's so much bigger than that's so much more water than I thought could exist.
Right.
And I think that that's like how our cares are. Like our cares are that glass or that thimble. And it seems like a lot. But then we see God, and you're like, wow. He's so much bigger than I thought he was. Like he understands me so much more than I thought mm-hmm. he did. He's directing things so much more than I thought he did. He did. He's in control. I think that those things all allow us to just like cast that water aside and say like, no, give me the ocean.
Yeah.
And that's what the beauty of the gospel is, like it's freely offered. It's that
right.
freely offered water, that living water that's offered us through Christ's sacrifice.
Absolutely. That to me sounds like a perfect bow on the song.
Yeah, awesome. Well, why don't we end with some prayer? Those of you who are going to go out and play the song, you know, in the coming weeks or listen to this song, hopefully that kind of helps a little bit with that heart posture to be thinking about some of that imagery and about how big God is and how we interact with that. So I'll close this with some prayer and then we'll wrap it up until next week.
Yep.
Father, let's just start with just proclaiming that you are awesome. God, because I think that's such a heart behind the song is just saying how big you are. God, and I pray that that would be true to us. I pray that daily you would remind us of how big you are and that we would see you closer and closer and bigger and bigger. God, I just pray that you would help us to do those things that we're singing about, God, that we would cast our cares upon you. But God, I pray that that would be because we learn to treasure you more and more. such that all of our cares don't even matter, God. I pray that they would become small. I pray that we would become small in light of just how big and how awesome and how loving and sovereign you are. God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. With the God of all creation, you're bigger than I thought you. You're bigger than I thought. Thank you guys for joining us on another episode of To the Choir Master. We look forward to seeing you guys again next week. One way to get that reminder is to subscribe on Spotify or wherever you listen to good podcasts.